Hey, pubcasters. Welcome back to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. This is your host, Tim Hunzi. We have a most excellent episode today as we sit with Michael Gingreco. He is the president of A&R over at Big Loud. Man, it's such a fun episode today. We just really dig into the ins and outs of publishing, how to be a good partner to your writers, how to help writers develop. Sit back and enjoy the ride. Hey, welcome back to the AIMP Nashville Pubcast. This is your host, Tim Hunzi, and today I am super excited to be sitting with the now president of Big Loud A&R and Publishing, Mike Gingreco. Welcome to the podcast, my friend.
What's up, Tim? Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Of course. Kind of stated this a little off record that I have been remiss at getting you guys on here sooner, but I'm super excited to have you here today. And for those that may not really know you or have much of your background, which would include myself actually on the background part, why don't you tell us what got you here, man?
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I actually was listening to a few of the podcasts a few weeks ago when you hit me up. I checked out Kelly Bolton's, and I learned some stuff about her background. I didn't know she worked with Toby Keith.
Yeah, man.
When she was starting out, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, so I was born in Minnesota, and then when I was about 10 years old, my dad took a job change and we moved to Nolensville, Tennessee. So I got to town because I just was moving here with my parents, man, and I had no idea what I was getting into when I came down here. I had a great time growing up outside of Nashville and went off to school. I played sports. Sports were kind of the thing in our family that was our thing together, I guess. A lot of soccer, and then I started playing football. I went to college to try to do that for as long as I could. Went to Chicago and played for, didn't even make it through a season. And then I had this thing in the back of my mind where I was like, man, I would love to work in music in some capacity. I had just always been a avid fan of music of all genres. And so my girlfriend, now wife, but she was in school at Belmont. And I came back and I was just on campus with her walking through. And I realized that they had a program where you could study it. And I had no idea that that existed. And so I decided I was going to move back to Nashville from Chicago and try to pursue it any way I could. And so I was waiting tables and then applied to Belmont and got in after a semester. And that was kind of off to the races, man. And I just tried interning everywhere I could when I was at Belmont, because it was kind of funny. The people that I was waiting tables with, everyone was trying to pursue music in some fashion. So I learned a lot from just asking people questions while I was waiting tables and things. So that's kind of how I got a little bit of how I got into the mix of things.
Coming back to the publishing side, what do you think, you know, I like that this is a lot of what we do is educate our listeners and stuff. So what do you think is the publisher role? Like, what do you think makes a great publisher? What are some of the insights you think that have helped you become a president of a publishing company?
You know, I think a publisher encompasses a lot of things, especially in 2026. You know, I guess specifically to what we do, we're developers of songwriters, like to identify songwriters and try to find songwriters that bring unique concepts, melodies, lyrics, like just bring a big just work ethic, you know, try to identify those types of writers and how you can develop them and work backwards toward goals that they want to get to. You know, I think it's really cool being a publisher because you can work across different types of creatives as far as like songwriters that have artist aspirations or songwriters that want to be producers or songwriters that want to put out their own music but also write for others. I think there's so many opportunities for songwriters, and it can be a launching pad to other mediums within entertainment. And I think that's really cool that it can be that. You know, how I like to approach it is like we're on the same team. Like, we're going to strategize your career based on what your goals are. And that's what I try to do. And that's what I've learned. That's what I learned as a intern. I got to watch a lot of great people over here be publishers. And I mean, you know, Seth and Joey and Craig and Kimberly. Like, I knew Kimberly when she was my intern, like, advisor, I guess. And she's been here forever. Craig's OG. And we bonded on so much at the beginning, and I've just learned countless amounts of publishing things from her. So, I mean, I try to just instill things that I've learned that have worked. And, you know, some of those things are timeless. I feel like, as you would know too, like, there's just certain things that I feel like are just timeless with characteristics that you look for in a writer. And I just try to find that. And then also the chemistry, I think, of, you know, trying to find songwriters that, you know, work well together. I think that's a beautiful thing too, because as we've all seen over the years, how writers come up in classes together. And I think that it's really cool to be able to connect the dots creatively, because a lot of times writers just aren't thinking about some of those other, you know, they're thinking about the craft, with which they should do. But like, we have a unique position where we can connect great complementary writers. And I think that's really cool.
A lot of the writers I've signed, there's typically a song they'll play me, and there's like a line. I'm a lyric guy. I mean, melody's got to be there, obviously, but usually I go, wow, they know how to turn that phrase. Or just, it's usually one song and that just takes me over the edge where I'm like, okay. And I guess that lays on top of the work ethic thing. So if anybody's listening and's wondering, you know, we're looking for teachability, we're looking for, you know, talent, and, you know, somebody's going to grind as hard as we are. But usually for me, I have signed more writers, like a Bobby Pence, and there was a song, I can still tell you, it was a song he played me, and it was called Try Going Back. I still have the cassette at my house from when he dropped it off that made me stop and go, oh, crap, we got to do this deal. So was there something like that that usually, like, triggers you, that makes you go, oh, man, I got to have this writer?
Yeah, totally spot on. I think I could even point to specific songs with specific writers that we've signed here, that certain song, like, I can just associate it with a song. Not that it was like that was the one thing that was like just because of the song, but it's like what you described. It's almost, and Seth talks about this too, it's like that feeling that you can't really describe. It's like the goosebumps or whatever. When you get the goosebumps and you're just moved by something, like, yeah, there's totally those songs I have specifically with writers.
Yeah, I can't take credit for this. I worked with A&R and one of my other companies at Stage 3, Candace Campbell. She was amazing. Still is. She's still in the business out in LA. But she said, I just want something to interrupt me. And I always loved that phrase, because it's like, you know, it's that thing that makes you just stop and go, holy crap, what was that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and it can be any style, because I get that a lot too, you know. You want country or pop? In today's world, that's so not the question to ask anymore to me. It's like, I just want something that's good and somebody who knows who they are, man.
Totally, man. I'm the same way. And it's like, that's, you know, why it also goes back to why I love publishing so much, is because you can kind of work across various genres too. Like, I'm similar to you. I have a lot of different tastes. It's not just one. It's, I love country, but it's not the only thing I listen to, you know? Yeah. So it's really cool to be able to work across different sounds that I love.
That's cool, man. Is there something, because until I got to Big Machine, we'd always been involved in developing artists. So I'm involved in that and gotten a lot of record deals and stuff. But, you know, you think you understand record labels, but being at Big Machine and being tight and kind of getting insight to actually working alongside a record label. And is there something you've seen that you're like, wow, I had no idea that's really how these things go, like how that works? Is there something that's really stood out that would be a valuable thing to point out to others out there in the world?
Man, I guess that's a really good question. Like, thinking exactly of like one specific thing that made me go, wow, I don't know that there's one, but I will say, like, the fact that Big Loud has such a robust label, being able to walk over to the radio team and ask a question about something is like crazy. You know, I think I have such an appreciation for their radio teams and folks that just absolutely grind on those records and things. And like, I think honestly, if anything, just working near a label has just grown appreciative of the people that are working the songs and helping that process, you know, because I think if you're not exposed to it or whatever, sometimes some label things can just look, I feel like being closer to it and being able to see the people day in and day out working on stuff has just made me be like, wow, that they're really hustling to make sure that songs are getting heard by people.
You see things transitioning and where we're at in today's market. What do you think is one of the most important roles a publisher does, and what's your strategy in building out a writer?
Man, I think that, you know, it was interesting because when I was when I first took over a calendar, I feel like it was probably 2018 or 2019, and I feel like it was on the tail end of like the traditional calendars of Nashville, if you will, where things were booked out, you know, 3 months in advance, like a lot of times, like everything was just very organized, I feel like, and like 3 months out, and just like, it didn't really seem like a lot of sessions and things were like constantly getting blown up or, you know, canceling and stuff. At the time, maybe I just had no context of it, but I feel like now, that's a long-winded way of getting to this. I feel like now with publishing, it's kind of case by case, depending on the style of writer that you have and what their goals are. Not to go back to what I said earlier, but like, you know, some writers, I think, want to have a just more structured 4 day a week, 5 day a week sessions. And some people are a bit more unconventional. And I think part of that is now how much influence has come in from other cities of people moving to Nashville and working with folks that are based in Nashville. And like everyone's bringing in a different way that they work and a different style. So I feel like personally what I run into a lot is just like knowing, you know, who's coming here from a different place and what their style is and how it kind of mixes with depending on who the writer is in Nashville. So I think one of the big things is just being able to adapt to what the needs are. I try to work backwards, you know. Some writers that you work with want to, you know, have only their goals are mostly country and they want to write in just that genre and get cuts and number ones in there. Some people are a bit more like, hey, I want to write country part of the time and I'd like to spend time in LA and try to fit that in. So I think a lot of it is just like there is not a one size fits all anymore. I guess that was the long way of getting to that. So I try to just be able to adapt and kind of, you know, tailor needs, I guess, depending on who the creative is.
You have a system you use when you lose a rights, you know, I ask all my posts, like, how do you like maximize your time without just like sending 8,000 text messages? Like, do you have a system you use when a write comes apart?
Man, I wish I had one succinct way of handling it every time because I feel like it just depends on who the writer is, not to give the cliche answer. But like, you know, I feel like we all have our friends that will text. I mean, I feel like I text a lot of folks about, you know, sessions when something blows up, but it also just kind of goes back to our point about having ecosystems of writers that want to work together naturally, because I feel like a great strength that a writer can have is the ability to pivot on a day when a session cancels. Like, you know, hope to work with the writer and get them to a point where they have a Rolodex of people they can text in their phone too when a session cancels. Like, hey guys, I just had this cancel today. Y'all got anything or anyone else? You know, like I think some of those things, as you probably agree, are like the best tools you can have, because, you know, I try to hit people up and I guess it depends. Like if there's a specific project that writers are writing toward, you know, and that has a timeline, then if they get canceled on and that goal of that session was to write for this project, well, then I'm going to go down a list of people that I think would make sense for them to try writing with to get that goal covered, you know? So I think it kind of depends.
On the Big Loud front, how would you describe y'all's maybe identity or differentiator that separates you guys from some of the other companies out there?
Man, great question. You know, Big Loud, I feel like there's always just been very unique sounds that come out of the building. Like a lot of just, you know, folks I feel like paradigm shifters in a way, musically and just bold creative decisions and great, great songs. I think those are some of the things that I feel like I identify in artists that have been successful here, and even songwriters too, just not being afraid to creatively go into uncharted territory and just have a high quality song standard.
What is some advice? You know, we work in an advice scenario, and is there some advice that you like that has been given to you that you like to pass on to other people?
Man, I feel like, and probably some of the folks that listen are either, you know, just aspiring writers or aspiring publishers, or maybe they're students that are, you know, studying and trying to get in the business. But I think one of the overarching pieces of advice that I was given when I was just trying to get footing and find, you know, how to even get in a building to be able to have the opportunity to work in music, was finding ways to add value when you're given the opportunity in situations. So when, you know, if you have an opportunity to intern somewhere, I think, you know, some folks go different routes, whether it be more entrepreneurial, which I have so much respect for, and I also work for entrepreneurs, so I see the, you know, there's an added layer that goes into that as well. But I didn't necessarily go that route. I feel like there's so much information now that's available to you that at the time, even though I'm of the newer generation, I didn't learn as much online and through videos and all of the things that are around now. So I would say to people to take advantage of a lot of the things that you can learn going into some of those internships so that you have a little bit more context when you're in the building. I think that kind of stuff is super helpful. Like this podcast, there's a few other ones as well that are out there that I just think are great, where you can, you know, if you want to work in publishing, listening to Writer Is, getting to know the A&Rs and people like that. Knowing who people are and like where things are is like half the battle a lot of the time, especially when you're coming up. So as much as you can just start getting familiar with names and places and things, like it helps you when you're in the rooms a bit more, kind of put more context to it. But I would just say adding value whenever you're given an opportunity, man. Saying yes at the beginning of your career and throughout is really important, but at the beginning, man, you got to say yes to a lot of things and just figure out how to add value depending on if it's your internship or you're in a songwriting session. Some of those principles are similar.
The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is hosted by yours truly, Tim Hunzi, producer Brandon Harrington, mixing and editing by Casey Porter, and this has been a Dime Collective production.